Get your Bible out and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Earlier today, I mentioned the title of my sermon. I'm going to talk to us about how to become rich. How to become rich. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to stand with me, if you will, please. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read to us the very first three verses of Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That last verse, verse number 3, I'll read it again. It'll be our text verse that will launch the thought of the sermon tonight. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And let's pray. Spirit of God, control my mind, control this service. I pray, Father, that you would help us to realize how rich we are in Christ Jesus. Bless us tonight with thy presence in a supernatural way, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. The Bible says here in Ephesians 1:3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, you understand, when the Bible tells us that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that's pretty rich. That's pretty rich. You can't get much better than to have been told you have available to you all spiritual blessings. Now, you might say, well, wonder if I don't want a spiritual blessing. Well, that's not real richness then, according to God. And God's the one that dreamed this whole shoot and match up, just so you know. And if God says that's rich, that's rich. And what man says is rich, that's not rich. And when you get to heaven, you're going to see it God's way. There's no doubt about that. I was in high school. In my hometown, it was very common that you work in a factory, and in high school I took mechanics classes, and I took classes to work in metals, and I worked in a metals class, learned to run lathes and mills and things like that. And then while I was still in high school, I was going into a machine shop, and I was in the process of becoming a machinist. I ran lathes, I ran mills, and just about every young man in our town learned to do that if they wanted to earn a living. Well, it wasn't long until I had learned how to run the machines, and my father had taught me to work hard and shut up and do what you told and show up early and stay late and work hard, and you could make something of yourself. And by the way, that still works. But I worked on the floor, and I ran the lathes and the mills, and eventually it came to the point where they asked me to begin to supervise. And I remember my boss came and met with me one day, and he said, Jeff, he said, I want you to start us a new shop. He said, I'm going to give you the checkbooks, and I want you to hire the men, and we're going to order all the equipment. And we did, and we started another division, and I got to oversee that, and it was very exciting to me. I worked for a man by the name of Sherman Armstrong. He's a very wealthy man in my city. He also produced March race cars. At that time, they were the only producer of March race cars in the United States of America. That was the car that was used in the Indy 500. And they made those cars, and we made prototype parts. And then he was into a lot of other different types of things. And we made parts for the Ball Corporation. Now, you've heard of Ball canning jars. And we made parts for them, and we developed parts for them. Well, the man that was the CEO of the Ball Corporation would come to the factory that I had started, and he'd come in and he'd end up talking with me from time to time, and we had a lot of correspondence, he and I. Well, he shouldn't have done this, but he did. We had become close. He had watched me run my division, and he knew that I'd started that particular shop and that I helped to run it. One day, he asked me to go to lunch. I thought it was going to let's go to lunch because we are business associates kind of a thing. Well, we went to lunch, and he said, young man, I want to offer you a job. I want to hire you. And I said, well, sir, I'm not for hire. I already work for Mr. Armstrong. And I said, in any way, I'm turning in my notice. I'm going off to Bible college. And he said to me, oh, you don't need to go off to Bible college. He said, if you'll do this, if you'll trust me, I want you to come to work for the Ball Corporation. I will put you into management. I will promise you a corporate executive job. You'll be a very young man, and you'll be a millionaire in no time flat. He said, I promise you that is available to you. And I told him, I said, sir, I'm already rich. He said, what are you talking about? He said, are you going to inherit some money? I said, well, I do have an inheritance. He said, do you have a rich father? I said, I do. He said, are you going to come into some wonderful things in the future? I said, I am. He said, I can't talk you into... He said, you're a young man and I can promise you a lot of success. I said, sir, I've been promised all the success I feel like I need. I've been called to preach, and I am going to be a Baptist preacher. He said, are you telling me that you're turning this down? You've not even heard the number that I'm going to pay you yet. He said, and you're telling me, without even hearing the number, that you're going to turn it down to do what you feel like you're supposed to do? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I respect that. He said, do you want to hear the number? I said, please don't tell me the number. I don't want to hear the number. You know something? I when I was a young man, I think if I would have wanted to go on into business, I probably could have. And again, my dad just taught me to work hard, and working hard always pays off. But I've never regretted for a moment serving Jesus. I've never regretted that for a moment. And I'll tell you why. I feel rich. The passage of Scripture that I read to you a moment ago, God, through the Holy Spirit, leads Paul to write it. And Paul says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Paul, I believe, would have made probably an excellent bank president, because Paul has proven and he has learned from God about the most prosperous investments known to man. Now, there are some in this world who make millions, but they're truly poor. You know, I've known people with all sorts of money, but they're sad people, and they're not happy people, and they're not fulfilled people. They're so busy making their next million, they've not invested in true happiness and true riches. And many people strive with their hearts to fill their hands with things like stocks and bonds and houses and lands and bank account and gold and silver. And though their hands may be full with possessions, their hearts are very, very empty. They're what I'd call things rich, but their joy poor, their happiness poor. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with making millions. If you do it and you get it the right way, and then you do the right thing with it once you get it. But a lot of people don't. I told you earlier that the man that wrote us a $50,000 check to help us to get this building, he made the statement to me this week. He said, all my money is actually God's money, and all God wanted me to do was to figure out who I ought to pass it on to next. And I felt your church was deserving, so I just passed some of God's money on to the next person. Now, here's the thing. Most rich people, their money is their money. Well, that man has the right attitude about it. In tonight's message, I want to talk to you about richness. And earlier this morning, I looked out. All this auditorium was packed to overflowing. And I said, I'm going to preach a sermon tonight on how to be rich. And I watched people. Yeah. Well, now, if you come and I talk to you about spiritual riches, you say, oh, I'm kind of let down here. I was kind of hoping you're going to tell me how to make $1 million green. Well, I can give you something even more important to that tonight, if you'll let me. Paul said, he said that God's people have all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Folks, Jesus has made you and me richer than the lottery has ever made anybody. Let me show it to you in the Scripture tonight, if I could. But first of all, let me tell you this. We are rich. Those of us that are saved, we're rich by a thing called redemption. Redemption. Listen. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I've been redeemed, and because I'm redeemed, I'm rich. The word grace there, I have a little outline that I preach from time to time. The word grace, G-R-A-C-E. I say grace means God's riches and righteousness at Christ's expense. You see, you and I get the riches of God through the expense of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit inspired these words here that Paul wrote, where he talks about redemption and the riches of his grace. Now, in Paul's day, the most common use of the word redemption had to do with slavery. The Ephesians definitely knew what it meant to be redeemed from slavery. No doubt, in the church at Ephesus, to whom this was written, they had members that at one time were slaves, and those slaves had been set free or redeemed. Now, the scripture that had been given to Moses in the Old Testament taught that if a man had lost all that he had, and for some reason could not pay his debts, he could then sell himself into slavery to pay off his debt. In other words, this is what would happen. You went out and borrowed money on your mortgage, then you couldn't pay your mortgage. You didn't file bankruptcy. They didn't hear of such a thing. You would have to give up everything that you had, and if you still couldn't pay your debt, you sold yourself into slavery. You went to work, if you will. In this case, I'll say the bank or whoever held your mortgage, you'd become their slave. And you would work off your debt. That would probably be good for America, again, rather than being able to slip out of responsibility, having to face the responsibility. But now listen, after that person then had become a slave, a friend could not come by and pay off that debt. That's the Old Testament rule. So you owed a debt you could not pay, so now you've had to sell yourself into slavery. This is what took place in the day of the church of Ephesus. And a friend could not come by now that you're a slave and pay that for you. But a family member could pay that debt for you. Let me explain something to you. You and I were in debt. We were in debt for our sin. There was no way that you could pay it. Matter of fact, there was no way that anybody could pay it. You owed so much because of your sin against the Heavenly Father, nobody could pay it. Now you're a slave to sin. But you had someone that was willing to become what's called your kinsman redeemer. You hear that word, kin? God said, I'll send my son who will be their brother, and he will die for them, and he'll pay their debt, and I'll set them free of their slavery to sin. So we were set free. Folks, we owed a debt we could not pay. No human being could pay it. And Jesus said, Dad, I'll pay it in full. And God said, it's going to cost you everything. And Jesus said, I'll pay it. You don't think you're rich? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He became our kinsman redeemer. Folks, you are rich through redemption. Secondly, though, you are then rich through inheritance. Ephesians 1:11 says this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Hey, listen, when a slave was set free, they were obviously poor. But now that slave had worked hard for many years, but had never earned anything for themselves. They were always paying off their debt, or they were working for their master. All earnings went toward the master, or to the master, or to their debt. I doubt that any slave had ever been set free and received a severance package on the day of his freedom. That's not how it works. But let me tell you something. We were in debt for our sin. Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, paid it all to set you free. You were a slave to your sin. Get this. The moment you were set free as a slave, and Jesus paid it all, which already makes you rich, Jesus then said, you're my brother. God said, you're now my son. I am going to give you an inheritance. So we went from slavery on our way to hell, and God comes along and pays the entire debt. Then he said, Not only am I going to pay your debt so you don't have to go to hell, I am now making you a part of the royal family, and you are going to receive an inheritance. He didn't know that to us. You say, why did he do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, God loves you. That's what happened. We, in salvation, were set free by our Redeemer. Then we get this inheritance. And you realize in your future, you inherit everything that is in heaven that the Heavenly Father has for us. We're going to go live in the same heaven Jesus lives in. We're going to be at the very same place where Jesus is and the angels are. Listen to what Peter says about our inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now listen to this. Folks, there are people that lost money in the last 12 years. They had money invested, and they lost all sorts of money when our economy crashed. And there are people that had they had retirement programs that are all messed up now. Some people are scared to death of what's going to happen to Social Security. I do have some very good news for you. You have an inheritance as a Christian. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not. And it's reserved for you in heaven. Now get it, you were a slave to your sin. Nobody could pay your debt to God. It was so big. God's Son said, I got you covered. God said, it'll cost you everything. Jesus said, they're worth it. Boy, you ought to feel valuable. Most slaves don't get cut free and then get a severance package. But he came, he saved you from your sin and said, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to treat you just as if you're my son Jesus. You're going to get the whole, inheritance. You get to be a part of that inheritance of heaven. What a deal. I'm feeling richer and richer every moment. Then, not only that, we are rich because of the one who owns us. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In the day when people paid their debts by becoming slaves, if they so desired, after paying their debt, they could then willingly remain with their master and become a perpetual servant. And I'll tell you why. They did that because their master had been good to them and there was a mutual love relationship. And the slave just said, Master, I know you're going to let me go free, but I don't want to go free. I'd be glad to stay on here and serve you, and I love you, and you love me. And what they did, when a man chose to continue, if you will, as a slave, what they do, they would bore a little hole in his ear. And that would, when people would see that hole in his ear, they would say, that man has chosen to be a slave to his master. Now, the same thing is true for you and I spiritually. When we get saved, and then we decide we want to serve God. They called that slave in the New Testament, they called that one that chose to stick around and just keep serving a bond slave. You and I, we were set free of our sin debt through the redemption of Jesus Christ. He then says, I'm going to give you an inheritance. And the truth of the matter is, I do not serve him today because I'm scared to death of him. I don't serve him today because I have to be saved. I serve him today because I see what he paid to cut me free. I see what he promised for my future, and I serve him because I want to, not because I'd have to. Those of you that get all hung up with, you know, the Lord tells you, you ought to separate from this and separate from that, and you get all hung up on those things because he would dare ask you to do something for him. I've got news for you. He has total right to ask you to do anything that he wants you to do. I mean, do you have any idea what he paid for you? Do you have any idea? He not only put everything down to pay for your sin-sick soul, he's promised you everything you'll ever need for all eternity, and you get to inherit as a child of God. But not only that, when we choose to serve him, the Bible, it uses that term there. It says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know that the royalty, they have a crest, and they would put the crest on their belongings or the things, their possessions. Yeah, they would take that crest, and hey, the king had a crest, and that crest would be on his garments or on his chariot. It would be on the front door of his kingdom. Why? It just showed his ownership. The Bible says that you and I are sealed until the day of redemption. Do you know by whose crest we are sealed? The King of Kings. That crest showed ownership. Folks, I don't belong to you, and you don't belong to me. I don't belong to the United States government. You say, who do you belong to? Check the crest that's on the seal of my birth certificate in heaven. I'm stamped with God, the King of Kings crest. And if somebody said, well, who does he belong to? You better not fiddle with Jeff Owens. I belong to God. I belong to the King of Kings. The royal crest, or the seal that is on my ownership papers, is the crest of the King of Kings. That's big stuff. You see, I couldn't pay my sin debt. He paid it in full. The minute he cut me free from being a slave to sin, he said, let's not stop there. How about I just give you a total retirement package and a total inheritance? And I say, what? What did I do to deserve this? He said, you didn't do anything to deserve it. I just love you. Then he said, you know what let's do? You give me your birth certificate. I'm going to stamp it with the royal crest. Everybody's going to know you're royalty, buddy. You're no longer a sin-trapped slave. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. I'm feeling better about myself every day. But it didn't stop there. See, we are rich by redemption. We are rich by inheritance. We are rich by ownership because we're owned by the King of Kings and willingly owned. But number four, we're rich in our associations. Let me read to you again from Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye whom sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, in that verse, the word hath, H-A-T-H is there. And here it means both. And it's talking about both the Jews and the Gentiles. Now let me explain. The Jews and the Gentiles at this time in history, they did not mix. They did not get along real well. It would almost be like somebody that's real ritzy going to the ghetto, and they'd feel real uncomfortable there. And the ghetto didn't spend time with the ritzy, and the ritzy didn't spend time with the ghetto. But this is what God said. God said, when I save you, we're pulling down all division. Everybody is equally important, and anybody that becomes my son, I don't have any second-class sons. Anybody that becomes part of my family, there's no second-class part of my family. But salvation tore down a wall between the Gentiles and the Jews, and now a rich fellowship was available between them. Listen to Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, this is a result of salvation, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Notice, we're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners. Now we have a fellowship that is very special. You know, our fellowship in the local New Testament church, it'll cause loneliness to flee away from someone. You know, you get into the church, you get saved, and what does God do? True believers care about your burdens and care about your needs. Born-again people have very strong ties. True believers have a wonderful, wonderful fellowship. There's a oneness in our spirit. You know, it's a very rich thing to know who your friends are. It's a very rich thing. You know something? It's a rich thing to have family. You say, what family? Well, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You see, we are rich by way of our associations. Listen to this verse. Romans 10:12 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Folks, when we get saved, God gives us an equality. We all become his son. We all become his daughter, if you will. And there's a richness there. Here's basically what the Lord is saying to us. He said, you're rich by way of association. Did you know that because you and I, number one, we have a rich heavenly father, we have real good records. You know, we're blue bloods now. You say, why? Because the king owns us. He bailed us out, paid everything for us, gave us an inheritance, turned around and said, I own you, and I'll seal you with my royal crest. You say, well, who then can I fellowship with the other rich folks? Say, who are the other rich folks? The other saved people. Hey, we don't have to go to the slums to get our fellowship. Where do we get our fellowship? From God's family. And that's rich. The world doesn't understand it. You know, we don't have to get drunk or get high to have a good time. We can have fellowship with God and God's people. We have a thing called the Holy Spirit of God that gives us a richness in our fellowship. I was listening to the special music this morning and tonight, looking out into the faces of God's people. You just see the fellowship and the kindred spirit as we unify and we associate. And look, I am so glad. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. Now, we weren't so dirt poor that we couldn't eat, but we didn't have a lot of money. And there were some people in our town that did have some money. And I can remember even at school, there were people that, because, you know, I didn't have much and I wasn't rich, they would stick their nose in the air and kind of give the impression they were better than me and they had more than me. I can remember there were birthday parties that I was not invited to, and there were things that they did because I didn't have much. Well, I've got news for all of them. They better stop and take count. They better stop and take a good long look at who owns me and what they paid for me. They better take a good old long look at my inheritance. You know something? Not because of me, but because of him. I am somebody. And so are you. And folks, the fellowship that we share in the church is far richer than the people that are barfing their guts up at the bar tonight, and the people that are going to end up with some disease in the back seat of a car that they shouldn't be in, sleeping with somebody they shouldn't sleep with. Hey, they can have that kind of crummy fellowship. You give me the fellowship of God and the Holy Spirit and God's people. I'm rich because of association. So, get this. I was a slave. So deep in debt because of my sin, I couldn't bail myself out. God steps up and becomes my kinsman redeemer and pays everything to cut me free. When I'm about to run out and say, I'm just glad to be free, he said, hold on a minute, I had something else I wanted to give you. I thought, what do you want to give me? He said, everything. I'm going to give you an inheritance. I said, but wait a minute, who am I? He said, well, let me have that birth certificate of yours right there. I'm going to stamp it. You're a child of the king. Then he said, and I'll tell you what, you don't have to fellowship with the riffraff anymore. You can fellowship with the richest people. I'm going to let you fellowship with the family of God. And all those that have an inheritance and have had everything paid for them, they too are royalty. Then he said, just in case that's not enough, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it so you can ask me for whatever else you need. Listen to this. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. You say, access to what? God's throne. What kind of access? Bold, confident access. You say, what's this talking about? Prayer. What wealth? Well, look, I'll tell you what, you're awful wealthy when you can walk into God's house and go right to his throne and say, God needed something. You know, you don't need to go to the priest to get what you need from God. You can go directly to God. And look, God, if you call on God, you won't get his answering machine. You don't have to worry about that. You know that the Bible says that all believers are invited to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies and make their requests known to God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This access, God then opens up the divine treasure house of heaven for us. No person on earth is more wealthy than a saved person that has learned to pray. See, God said, I'm going to pay off your debt you can't pay. I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to make you a part of the royal family. I'm going to make it so you can fellowship with the best of the best. And then he said, by the way, in case I didn't get you all covered with all that, I'll give you access to come to me personally and pray, and I can meet your needs on a daily basis. I'll be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Just tell me what you need. I'll be there for you. I feel pretty good about my standing in Christ Jesus. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Boy, what a deal. I came out of this thing like a bandit. I was a slave. I couldn't bail myself out. I had no friend that could help me. My kinsman redeemer paid everything to get me out of the slavery to my sin. Now I'm free. Then he said, I got you an inheritance. Then he said, I'm going to put my name on you. I'm going to stamp you with the royal crest. You're part of the royal family from now on. You don't have to associate with the riffraff, but you can associate with the best of the best. They're my kids. They have the same inheritance you do. And if I didn't get everything covered, and if you ever need me, I'll just be on call 24/7. You don't have to knock, really. Just walk into the throne room and let me know what you need. I like this. You're rich. You better stop and realize the richness. And might I recommend that you realize it for the right reason. Listen to this. Let me make an application and we'll pray and we'll go home. I read to you earlier, my opening scripture was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I noticed something. I noticed in every one of these categories in which we're rich, these two words are used. In whom? In whom? Listen to this. We're rich by redemption. Listen to Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. You know who the in whom is? Jesus. But wait, the word in whom? We are rich by inheritance. Listen to Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom? Who's the whom? Jesus. We're rich by ownership. Listen to Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth and are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed by the Holy Spirit because of who? In whom? Jesus Christ. We are rich in association. Listen to Ephesians 2:22. In whom ye are builded together. It's talking about our unity. But in whom? Christ Jesus. We are rich because of our access to Him in prayer. Listen to Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. You and I are rich. In whom? Christ Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got Him on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus on my mind. I was nothing. I was a slave and I had no chance. And Jesus said, Father, let me take care of this. And God said, it's going to cost you everything. He said, I'll share it all with Him. He bailed me out. He gave me inheritance. He made me a part of the royal family. He made it so I could associate with the other Christians. And then He said, that's not enough. I'll give you free access. Just come see me whenever you need me. In whom? In whom? In Christ Jesus. You're richer than what you realize. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, we'll have a brief altar call. If you're not saved, why don't you come and become a part of this rich, rich opportunity, the richness of salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. 10 other people have already walked the aisle today trusting Christ if you just come. But Christian, I realize sometimes that we struggle with our money, our bills, the monetary in this life. And I want you to have your needs met. I certainly do. But let me remind you, we are rich. And it's not all just a heavenly rich, because you're not in hell right now. That means that salvation is covering you right this second. We are rich in Christ Jesus. Who here tonight would be able to raise your hand to the sky and say, tonight, I've been challenged. Tonight, I've found something in the scripture. I found something in the sermon. And God has spoken to my heart about it. Who here tonight would raise your hand to the sky and let God see it? And you're able to say, God spoke to my heart tonight. There's something in that sermon that's going to help me. You may put your hands down. You know, how long's it been since you thanked Him? How long's it been since you thanked Him for your salvation? Maybe you have come face to face with your richness tonight. Maybe you ought to come to the altar for a minute and say, Lord, wow, all this never really occurred to me. It's just fallen into place in my thinking tonight. Thank you for what you paid for me. Thank you for loving me like that. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and pray and thank Him for the richness? Maybe you need to apologize to Him. I don't know. Maybe you found yourself griping and complaining and feeling like you're doing without, and you feel cheated in life. And I know there are times when life is hard, and I know there are times when maybe somebody else has more, and maybe we even have less than what we used to. But folks, never, never forget, we're rich in Christ Jesus. And tonight, I've not taught you that having money is wrong. It's not. Nothing wrong with having money. But you're richer because of what Jesus did for you than what you did for yourself. I'll guarantee that. In whom? In whom? In Christ Jesus, we are rich. We are rich. There are people under the sound of my voice who live at poverty level. Well, you're richer than what you think. There is an association with God's people that's rich. They're not the riffraff. Matter of fact, the rest of the world's the riffraff. God's people are royalty. They're a royal priesthood. They're ambassadors. They're children of the King. And you might say, you know, Brother Owens, I don't have any royalty in my background at all. I'm just a commonplace, everyday kind of a guy. Well, let me tell you something. If God is your Father, you have a spiritual birth certificate that's stamped with the royal crest of the King of Kings. How do you become rich? You get saved and recognize that through redemption, through inheritance, through ownership, through association, and then through prayer, you're rich. In whom? Christ Jesus. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and then we'll go.